Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 197. This week we had some more technical difficulties where we pretty much recorded two podcasts. We lost all the audio from the first one, but recovered quite well because we still had a great show that we recorded today.
It was an absolutely wonderful show where we got to review Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. Into a bar is all that I could think of. It's not a thing. It's not a joke. No joke. Great comic.
We covered some Power Ranger news, which, of course, made Tony very...
Hard,
yes.
And we also talked about some Eisner Award nominees.
And the winner of a Peabody Award.
Yes.
So sit back, relax, grab a beer, and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 197, take two. So,
That was fun.
That was probably the best recordings we've ever done.
And now it's in the ether.
Tell you what, same thing happened with that Dan Dougherty thing we had.
That was one of the best interviews
we've
ever done.
By and large, one of the best interviews I've ever been a part of, like, in ever.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. We were laughing through the whole thing. Dan was just on point.
I really wish that we could record in analog. That'd be... Fuck this technology digital shit.
You know, it would be nice if we could keep a redundant system up.
Yeah, that's true. That would be redundant. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we are depressed on comics.
Yes.
Bringing you the shitty news that you don't want to hear. Being on top of this already sad week of losing people.
We lost our whole awesome...
You guys should listen to the pre-recorded one that won't be posted because we lost half of our audio. Mm. Once again, technology thwarts us from being the best podcast ever. And then thinking also thwarts us on the other half of having redundancy programs, which we may have to just... Yeah. Think about it, like, hardwire this room. We're going to have speakers coming down from the lights.
Yeah.
So we can kind of do that, but
you're gonna make it like Prince's house, wired for sound.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Prince is?
Oh, Prince's.
Yeah.
I thought you said princess.
Oh no, Prince.
Okay.
Prince's.
Once again, words are lost on me.
Yeah. Well, you're so angry that your face has turned red all the way up to your forehead.
At least your tan is even now.
And I'm so glad people will not understand that long story. So, hey, I'm happy again. Except for you to take a picture, so.
I did not turn out.
Oh, good. Yay. So. Now, like I said, I look probably just beet red, so. Yeah. So sad news. China wrestling star died. Prince star died.
Prince star?
Well, the music star died.
Yes. Yes, we had a whole entire conversation about how both of them were awesome.
Yes, and then we had Booze in a Book, which was Batgirl number 40, mainly because of the cover variant from last year, paired with Purple Rain, which I believe is the same exact drink we probably paired it with a year ago, but I drank a lot of those this week, and there's your Booze in a Book.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what you get.
So this is going to be a lot shorter because we're all, specifically Tony.
Tony's filled with lots of angst right now.
And Adam has plans, so.
I wouldn't call him plans.
Plans don't really count. It's not like I'm not going to bang hookers and do coke off their asses. Like, this is not something where I'm just like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm living it up like Tony fucking Stark today. Like, no, today.
Sorry, he has homework he has to do.
I have homework. I'm after 11 years of starting. I'm actually finishing my undergraduate, so it's my final, like, full semester. And then I take one class this summer, and I'm done.
Yay.
Wait, how many years did you go?
I didn't go 11 straight. It's just been 11
off and
years
on.
Since I started.
Off and on.
You don't want to hear the even more tragic, disappointing part is that I actually started taking college classes in high school. So it's technically 13 years.
What the hell, man?
Since I started
Life.
Applying
Life
classes.
Happens.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, he was delaying life. That's what happens after you graduate college. Oh, so
it's true. I didn't want to start. No, I had to take lots of breaks due to like health concerns and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
Well, look at you. Congrats on.
I'm super excited. And
so good to know someone my age graduating now. It's like I feel young again.
Right. Really... Well, you know, everybody's asking me like, "Hey, are you gonna walk?" And I was like, "With who?" Everybody else I know has children. Like, they're graduating college this year. I think Matt's son is what, 37 now? Like, I feel like I've missed the ball so badly on a lot of this stuff. It's terrible. But, I mean, I'm very glad to be done. I'm very glad to be moving forward. I think it's going to be weird to not have that hanging over my head anymore. It's like, everybody asks me, like, oh, you're probably really excited. And I'm like, I'm really not. Like, it's just one of those things that I'm trudging through until I'm done. And then once I'm finished, I think it's going to be that moment where I'm just kind of like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, it's been over there so long. Like, what do I do now with it? I think it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
You get a J-O-B with it.
No, I can't. It's a BS in psychology.
Oh.
So, like, you effectively can get zero jobs with that.
Do you hear what he's saying? He's bullshitting his psychology.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly what you do in psychology. It's literally like, can you make up a justifiable enough reason for your answer? Yes? We're going to hand you a diploma. So, it's like, you know, 13 years of that. So, right, it's been good. I'm excited about it. Looking to do a lot more BS in the rest of my life.
Yes.
as we're moving forward.
There you go.
But, yeah. Well, just keep reading comics anyway.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about Tony Stark, and he's kind of having a kind of a feud. Like, I heard they made a whole movie out of it. Like,
yeah, he's been a real dickhead lately.
It's kind of a war. Like, they're trying to be civil about it.
But it's not happening.
Yeah, no. In fact, they're going around the world now in promoting this war as if people want to see it for some reason.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
But he you know, Tony Stark first by lighting up.
We don't even call him Robert Downey Jr.
He is
Tony Stark.
Yeah.
In everything that he does now, he is the persona. Yeah.
Well, you know, when you saw the article where, or the video where he went in with that prosthetics company and like
for the kid.
Kid his arm. Yeah, he's Tony Stark. Yeah. Like, there's not another way around this anymore.
That was the best casting decision possibly.
Truthfully,
on the face of the earth.
You know, I feel like it's given he's had so many hardships and so much in his life that I think that like his personal experience brings this vibrant color to the character that I don't think other actors could because of not having those experiences. And I feel like he's become it's amazing to see like these people who have become these superheroes, how much it's affected them on a daily basis. Like Chris Evans, like we went from like, no, I don't want to act anymore, I don't want to do this, to realizing like, I've become Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I cannot be Steve Rogers. Like, I just find it every day in my life, like, doing, like, what would Steve do? And it's amazing to see that happen. And then, you know, you see, you know, Star-Lord being Star-Lord in everyday life.
Oh, my God.
Just being shenanigans and, like, raising his kids to be hooligans and having a lot of fun. And that's perfect. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, so recently, RDJ was out at the Eiffel Tower to promote, you know, and very well done, hilarious, because it can change those lights on it, like most bridges now and the everything. And it turned into, you know, oh my gosh, you're supporting my side, and it turned into like Iron Man like symbol. That was sweet.
Yeah.
And
the Eiffel Tower is known as the Iron Lady.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's why he was talking to it. Show me what you got, lady. Yep. You know, so that was a really done.
It was a little uncomfortable with his flirting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's true, buddy. I don't know if you know what you're doing here, but I'm pretty sure she's not going to call you later. I dated a French girl for a while, and it did exactly that way.
So then, obviously, Captain America responded, and they're over in Singapore, and they had fireworks and some light displays too. And
some fireworks is an understatement.
That's true. They
there were a lot of fireworks.
Which I learned from Adam today is fire. That works.
Yeah. Lindsay was saying that she didn't understand fireworks, and I was like, it's literally
the
fire that does work.
Of fireworks.
It's fire that does work. Like, she just doesn't understand how fire works.
Yeah, and the work that it does is explodey.
It is.
Yes, okay.
So that was cool and all. I am looking forward to because they're doing a world tour promotions of the new movie.
Yep.
They know what they're doing it right. As much as we will knock on Warner Brothers for some of their failures, we don't want to be negative. We just need to be like, no, Marvel knows what they're doing.
They do.
And they're doing, and I can only guarantee they have a couple more of these planned.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say, kind of on Team Iron Man right now. That was kind of a little more badass.
Yeah. Well, and if you watch both the videos.
Oh, what? No, Adam? What? You're going to choose with Captain America? Are we going to fight here?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, well.
I mean, truthfully, I think I would win right now. All I have to do is poke you in the forehead and you'll fall and cripple because of your sunburn.
Trying to be more iron red.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got, like, the gold part up on your forehead and, like, the red part underneath it because of the tan.
Guys, we said we lost the other recording. We wouldn't talk about this.
I never promised not to talk about it. I just said that we lost the other part of the recording.
Okay, we should briefly say the reason why we're making fun of me is because of being out in the sun, suntan, but wearing a bandana, so my forehead is pale white and the rest of myself is pink. Yes. And
yes. Badly.
He looks like a thermometer. Yep. Measuring cup.
Also, the long, cherry the long juice.
Electrode from Pokemon.
A cartoon that gets angry and fills slowly with red until it hits the top of their head.
He's not quite angry enough to actually like blow up yet.
I'm waiting for the next thing to drop, and then I'll just head explode.
It is interesting that he's got a little steam coming out of his collar in his ears because like that's the thing you can tell he's getting angry. Yeah, it's all at the same time.
Yeah, and that all revolved around a long story of 96 bottles of Jaeger, bums, people that hate their jobs to.
Girls shitting their pants.
And meat curtains flying in the wind.
And you guys will never hear that full story.
You will
story.
Never hear any about that. And you know what?
It's probably for the best.
You're welcome. You don't have to hear that because nightmares. Because I know that I'm going to have nightmares because Lindsay had to explain to me what meat curtains was. Now I'm afraid of women again.
We will pick up right where we left off in our book review.
I do have to say, I am Team Captain America on this one.
Really?
I am. I think that they did more like getting the crowd involved. They did more
production
of
the production value. Like, I don't know.
I get the production value wasn't the same, but this was definitely more of a promo event. It was people out and about, people having fun, people like interacting with them. I feel like that was the more important thing.
The Team Iron Man, like his was definitely way more produced, but what would you expect from millionaire Tony Stark?
Right.
You know?
I'm sorry.
Billionaire.
Yeah.
Is he a
the
billionaire?
The paltry million.
Yeah.
Fuck. He probably spent a couple million on the production value on
true.
That one.
That's true. All right. So moving on.
Into the middle of our review that we had.
Yes.
I feel like we should reiterate, hey guys, we did a review.
It's about a book.
It's from Black Mask.
Called Four Kids Walk Into a Bank.
And
that happened last time too.
Still funny.
It's not funny anymore. It's just sad because we missed it.
Yeah. So we got the writer, Matthew Rosenberg, who is an awesome writer. He wrote We Can Never Go Home, which is another amazing book from Black Mask. So if you guys haven't checked that out, you should pick it up.
The creators is kind of like a unique thing. And we have some knowledge that we've known for all forever.
Yes. Yep.
We got art and design, Tyler Boss. Lettering, Thomas Maurer. Wallpaper design, Courtney Menard, and that has to do with the wallpaper-ish background.
Yeah.
Interesting. But flating.
Flatting?
Flatting?
Flating? Flating.
Flating.
Flating?
You just sucked that one off. No.
Flatting.
The flatting. Flatting is actually where they send all of the copies out to somebody to do pre-color work on a digital end using like Adobe Photoshop or something along those lines before it goes on to the actual color. And we didn't know that there was actually a title for that. We knew that that was part
we
of the comic book.
No,
interesting.
We totally knew that.
I mean, Lindsay and Tony knew that, but I learned something new. Like I knew that the job existed. I didn't know that it had a title. And I think that's super cool that somebody such an integral part actually has its own title and can get its own credit because credit should be given where it's due.
Yeah. So flatting.
Yes.
Claire DeZutti.
Not filleting.
Yes. Not filleting. Claire, if you want to do that in your own time, we don't judge here.
So, back into the... Towards the end of this review, where we're going to talk about the end... No.
You just love it so much, you can't speak.
The moment.
So it starts with, like, a medieval page.
Yep.
Like, there's a knight... This has nothing to do with banks. An elven princess.
Kids.
Well, and the interesting is chapter one, as far back as lunchtime, I always wanted to be a gangster. This is this opening sequence page, and it's very interesting. Like, Indian wallpaper theme behind it and everything. And then you get into the opening sequence, and it's a dude with a sword and plate mail for absolutely no reason that you can discern as you start.
Right, because you're expecting a gangster at the very least.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, I guess they can be medieval gangster, right?
Mm. I don't think that's what they call them, but sure.
So,
maybe.
So you kind of go into it like, what the hell is going on? But when you, there's these little boxes on the page that have the characters' names and a description of them. And then at the very bottom, it says things like +5 bravery or +4 dexterity or +6 strength, which me not playing D&D hardly at all, I still have enough knowledge to know that that's a total gaming thing.
Well, I think most nerds would see those and know, oh, they're playing a game of dice and and skill bases and RPG type stuff. But, I mean, the way that they're laying out the characters, I'm like, man, they really get, these are the people of this book, because I am still confused of, like, that they're playing this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, is this a time travel type thing? Or, like, they go into a bank in medieval times?
Yes, what's there's always on? There's always a medieval character named Crotch the Sticky.
But,
yeah. I think that's just a thing. It happens.
And one thing that we'll talk about a little bit later, but I don't know if you guys noticed, wearing a yarmulke hat in this, so... Yeah. I noticed that the first read through. Yeah. I just wanted to point that out
you're
to
so,
you.
You're so observant, Tony.
But really, those first couple pages, it really makes you think this is the world that they're living in. This is what the comic book is. It's not until they start kind of arguing of D&D termness of like, I want to be a fucking dragon. I want to do this. Why can, oh, if you're going to die, oh, you can just reincarnate me then. And wait, we're fucking immortal. And really, this is kind of D&D-ness for people that play. But also, you're starting to really get of, oh, this isn't the world that this comic takes place in. This is the imagination of these people playing it right now. We haven't even met the true characters. So we're getting a glimpse of maybe who they play in this off world, but they're probably going to be like opposites. Everyone plays to their strengths. Everyone, you know, personifies what they wish they could be. These people are probably not that. Until you get kind of towards the end of, you know, Crotch riding the dragon and wanting to take it over and ruining everything in the splash. And
I feel like that could be a porn movie.
Crotch riding the dragon? Isn't that what China did before she died? Oh, wasn't that what that was called? Rest in peace, honey. I'm sure you're happy body slamming Christ.
Well, we then get to who these people really are.
Burke Lindsay.
And they are kind of what they are as their characters.
Right.
Yes.
It does a wonderful job of breaking down who the characters actually, how they actually interact with one another. And I think that's my favorite part is that it's this big caricature of these characters without actually, like, beating it to death with lots and lots of pages of dialogue and stuff. It's actually them arguing and being stupid and fun.
Their characters in the game are definitely, like, it tells you more about them as real people. Whereas, I don't know what kind of characters you guys play in your games.
Awesome McAwesome.
Is that the name of your character?
Yeah.
Is it really?
It's actually what he calls himself all the time when you're not around. He's like, Tony, that's not what I go by. What do you mean it's not what you... Awesome McAwesome. I'm not calling you that anymore.
So, you know, as most kids playing games do, a fight ensues and tragedy happens. Well, their soda gets spilled. I guess that's a tragedy when you're a kid, right?
And it does happen.
So then we get into the real world of the characters. And again, they do the boxes and the panels that explain each character and their personality traits. And they also have, what are they called? Those plus things?
Stats,
yeah.
Thanks, yes. See?
I've played D&D before.
I
know what it's called. Roll the dice.
It's been a while. All right.
That's what you sound like.
But so their stats. Fuck you. Their stats in real life are like +4 cuteness, -5 charm, which is Berger.
Oh, course. He's got the charm of a devil.
I also have to character. Point out, not nuts that they made him ginger and obnoxious. I mean, thanks, stereotypes.
Well, he's obnoxious in the funny guy.
Yes. He's Tony if Tony were redheaded and Jewish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually pretty fair.
Yeah.
I see him as Squints from Sandlot.
Exactly who he looks like, yeah.
Yeah, he's just a heavyset Squints from Sandlot. And yeah. You're like, what do you mean you lost it?
So they're still fighting about the spilled soda, right? And you really get way more of their personality in just these first couple, I guess it's the first couple panels in the page, yeah. Even.
Well, that's the big thing about this book is the panels and how the additional little dialogue boxes of who people are. Like, when we get introduced to kind of the bad guys-ish, yes. Maybe?
I'm pretty sure they're bad guys.
I don't think so, though.
They punched a 12-year-old girl.
That is true.
How many people haven't thought about doing that, though?
Right, it's true, but most people don't.
But even, like...
I mean, that's fair.
Their stats, their everything, stuff that happened to them, like, it fleshes out this world of, if they didn't have any of that, it would still be a great book.
Mm-hmm.
But those are small little nuances that add so much more depth to these characters, yep. That you're like, fuck, I actually kind of really like this person because they had this little pop-up box. Oh, you are
in love with Berger.
Well, yeah, because everything he says and does is, like, hilarious. But it's going down all to... I love that they didn't do the panel of punching the kid. They had the, like, under no circumstances is okay to go into someone's house uninvited and sucker punch a kid in the face. Like, but then I'm like, wait, you're reading that. Did that really happen? And then, yep, sure enough, bloody nose. Like, it was all left to the imagination. Also, like, even the bad guys are like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yep, carries over the black eye later.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh,
and then she calls Berger into action and he slingshots a...
Orc mini
into his face.
That was all, like, and the way that the dialogue flows within these, it's so great. The small little things that go on, especially the showing a slingshot, and then also showing the little figurine, and then just showing an eye, and then the next panel being like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, you know what happened without having to show the whole drawing the string, aiming, whatever, which all in... one panel would kind of be hard to do. You just do the simpleness of that, and you kind of get plus him being laid over and like, fuck, I got hit in the eye.
And then the eye patch to match later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that it's all great, and there's just so much of like I said, this extra dialogue. But let's even get to the main dialogue when they have some panels that have like almost 9 to 12 to 15... boxes of just like one person talking to another person, and the first one would get Paige talking to a bully because she has her black eye still from being punched in the face by Silk the older guy, and they're just going back and forth like, you know, you're bully, you're a nerd, you're misogynistic, you're a slut, and just the one that I died laughing at is you know, your mom told you she was just the disease old slit all the local hobos used as a cum dumpster when they drank away their money and couldn't afford new porno mags.
And the other look on his face.
Yeah, he's just in shock of like...
This came out of a girl's mouth. Yeah, a 12-year-old girl's mouth. What
the fuck? I have nothing to come back from. Like, fuck. Except for he has the one thing that's also shittiness is, well, at least my mom didn't kill herself. And that in of itself also is kind of like, ooh, burn, but not cool. And it gave the readers insight. More knowledge of what's...
Well, yeah. It kind of, like, if that's what happened to her mother, it gives you why she's kind of a badass girl, you know? Like, she feels like she needs to take care of herself, and probably her dad, too, because, you know, that's a rough thing to go through. So.
Well, in most books, I could see the writers having the dialogue of the father all of a sudden looking at a picture and being like, you know... I'm looking out for you ever since your mom passed away. And those, they give the reader the same need to know that of why is there not a mom around, but at the same point, just seem kind of so cheesy and going for that. Having this asshole kid just say that and the way that he said it just was so on point with how this book is set up.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get even to more of when they're on their CB radios talking to each other. And how their call sign, oh, just...
Yeah. So, they're supposed to be in bed, and they all of them have radios that they can talk to each other, which I thought was interesting and makes me wonder when this book takes place, because now they would just text each other on their cell phones or something
But they're nerdy kids, though.
They're nerdy kids. This could be something they would be using their computer.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
But yes, it's definitely...
They're also, 12, 14-year-old kids, too, so...
I'm sorry. I am the parent of a 13-year-old, and all of my kids' friends have cell phones. Connor does not have a cell phone.
Well, good.
But all of his friends...
Does he have CB radio?
No.
Well, look at what he's missing out.
I know. Maybe
yeah, maybe he will have friends. God! No wonder he doesn't have friends.
Shut up. He has friends.
Oh, maybe you need a CB radio.
Oh,
I know. I'm sad now. Yes, their call signs are great. Again, you have Walter, who is the shy kid. Even though they're talking over the CB radio, and he is not in a room with anybody else, and these are clearly his best friends, still talking at the meekest voice ever, and you can tell that because the font they use, the lettering is so small. But then we also learn a little bit about Berger in this too.
No. No. We learned a lot about Berger. To the point where one of the other... And we're not going to say it, because like you have to pick this comic up and you have to read it, because for nothing else but this sequence, it is 100% worth reading this comic. This sequence is hilarious. It's a TMI moment all friends have in front of their friends because of one friend's mom. And the other... One of his friends literally says, kind of wish I didn't know any of that. Like, really wish I hadn't heard it. Like, this sucks.
Well,
like,
not
this
only
is
that,
awful.
It's almost like the Who's on First
yes.
great pitch of, like, over, call me over.
Yes.
Why are we saying over after over? Like, it going on and on, like, was not so long that it got annoying. It was just, it was great, because these are kids, and you can imagine... Yes. Saying stupid shit. When
and you get
kids.
the creepy
oh my God,
truck driver.
That just came out of nowhere.
I know. How old y'all? You sound young as dirt.
No, but like, so we already have introduced the main kid characters, Paige's father, being, you know, single dad now, looks out for these kids, even though he's kind of like real, as in, you know, kids need to go home now, you're fighting, you know, or this or that.
Yeah.
We have their dynamics, who they are, and even these bad guys' dynamics, who are trying to, you know, appease the father, or, like, try to make sure that things are cool, because they try to give the kids a ride home from school. Like,
they did give the kids a ride home from school, which is also a hilarious panel with everybody.
I don't think we need to say hilarious panel. Everything in this book is funny.
That's fair.
So, yeah, so we now see the kids doing more of a Goonies-type plot of spying on these guys, trying to figure out what's going on, you know, with them.
Why these guys just showed up at the house.
To talk to Paige's dad. And I really love that the Berger shows up out of nowhere to the stakeout. Oh, I've always wanted to do this. And then they show a clock. Like, you know, this is going to be the best. And 5 minutes later, because really, I had to go look back at this little clock in the side of this panel to see... Wait, that was only like 2 or 4 minutes, and then I'm so bored, and then there's like 9, 10, 12 panels of Berger just saying shit.
Random shit.
Yeah, remember this time, you know, I was at your sleepover and saw your mom and dad stuff, and...
I know you didn't see it, but this is how it ends.
Yeah, and then like this, that, and blah, blah, cat did this, and I'm so
My
fucking
cat
bored.
Coughed something up here. I still have it.
So bored.
It's literally every conversation I had in elementary school that ended with bad story. Like, good.
And then you look up in the last panel of that page, and the clock turned just 5 more minutes, too, as if it seemed like, to me, the reader, I was like, man, they're out there for a while, man. He's going on and on about how fucking bored he is. It's like... Just reading that was like 5 minutes.
Yep. Nope. His attention span.
Yeah.
That was his attention span. This is what we got.
It goes on a little bit more from that of what the kids see and do on the stakeout. But all in all, it also left a big, whoa, what's going on there? Who are they having lunch with? And
yeah, the end was slightly predictable, because of a lot of lead-ins that they gave over the course of the story. Like, they were giving a lot of nods that the ending would occur. But the thing that I liked the most about it is that knowing that they've set up a lot of things that you don't expect with this one thing that they're nodding along, it feels like there's going to be a lot of long cons, pun intended, for exactly that reason. So we're gonna get to future stories where it's just all over the map. Like, we have no idea what's going on.
Well, I'm hoping that they're gonna eventually walk into a bank, because otherwise I'm gonna be very disappointed. But I can also see how that's starting to be alluded to. What could be, you know, what could the kids be used for? And it kind of goes back to when the bad guys first show up and you're introduced to them. And when they showed up to the door, you just had a page or a panel that showed the kids. And it showed the kids standing. And then it showed these four people showing up at the door. And Vernon, Silk, Hayes, and Skinhead Mike. And it is a straight duality of the kids and how they're standing that I was like, wait, is this like a time travel?
Yeah.
Like,
except all dudes.
For, well, yeah, so.
They're all dudes.
So Paige got gender-swapped.
There's a small, like, awkward black kid that turned into, like, a, you know, less awkward black
man. Yeah, Italian person. Like, yeah, so that was also, I was like, wait, that can't be, but what is going on here? Because it really did seem like, wait, are these the kids growing up? And, like, so it's kind of cool that they have this dynamic, and I wonder if they share more traits. I mean, they've showed the plus, minus, this, and charisma.
Right.
But how that might play out towards the other kids, or if it's just a coincidence of four kids running around and these guys. But when you also think about it, too, without giving away who meets up at the end, if these people are there for a reason, and the dad also hangs out with these other four youngsters, is there connections there as well of why these kids are all friends?
Right.
And there's all their group of friends. And if you guys don't follow me, without spoiling it, I'll tell you my thoughts afterwards, because I just came up with it. But
yes, we can't spoil this, because this actually does not come out until the 27th, so this week. So we can't we can't give away anything too big.
Because however, I will say this. I'm very interested to see if the – because this one opened with this whole D&D style grouping – I'm interested to see that because it carried on, like, with the plus stats through the entirety of this comic, if they're going to set it up with different themes, kind of like Community did, where, like, every episode has this different flavor to it, because this is a five-parter.
It is, yes.
So I would like to see – you know, I'm very interested to see how they do it, whether or not it's going to be this kind of D&D concept to kind of run through. I don't feel like they're going to take that approach, but because of how clever a lot of the writing was in this, I cannot wait to see what they actually do.
Here's the big thing, too. I want already this to be more than just four or five-parter.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes talk about how, yes, things should have a beginning, middle, and end, and so that when creators have these books in mind, they can finish telling their story without it being convoluted to now fight this bad guy and this bad guy.
Right.
But I also would not mind just watching these kids bicker.
Right.
They don't have to have any plot going on. It could just be them day to day in school and just talking, and the dialogue is just great, witty, fun.
A lot of, you know, the interesting thing is a lot of times they have there are quite a few comic books that have these kids as, like, the main characters and, like, the adult mentor and so on. You know, I think there's one Power Something. Power, I don't know, Boy Scouts, Power Rangers, that was it. It's probably, you guys have never heard of it. So they have all of these, like, teenagers, though, that are going through this, of this that awkward stage where they're supposed to be heroes or they're, like, the main characters of a story, but they don't always necessarily have, like, great dialogue conversations and character growth. And these guys,
you can see it going.
In this one comic, have had more character growth than a lot of other you know, preteen storylines that I've seen, and it is gritty. I would let a preteen read this because I think the content is good.
Here's the thing, though. This is an adult writing about preteens, so you're like, oh, he's using way more adult language than what they would use, and that is not true.
No, it's not.
12 and 13 year olds are filthy little animals.
Yeah, seeing them on TV and sitcoms, that is not a true young kid.
No, no, her calling that kid's mom a cum dumpster, I could see a 13 year old or a 12 year old saying that to another child. So,
well, another thing, on this, point, as you said, you know, it's not out yet. Coming from Blask Mask. Did I say Blask Mask?
You said Blask Mask. Okay.
From Black Mask, I can speak well.
Yep.
And it already had a, because they're a smaller publisher, so their print runs aren't in like the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
But their initial print run of 31,000 has already sold out through Diamond. So this is one of those, if you can find it, pick it up. It's going to be well worth it. And if not, they're going to definitely probably making a second and third. And I wouldn't see why this wouldn't be one of their killer stories. They have a great formula that they have in
this.
They
do. And like I said, with Matt Rosenberg, if you guys liked this, you should go pick up We Can Never Go Home, because the writing is very similar. It's his style and the way he builds his characters, and the funny things he adds into all of his books are just great. So I can't imagine that this is not going to just keep getting better as time goes on.
Yeah. So Adam, you mentioned you got my ears perked when you said Power Rangers.
You gave him a halfie.
I thought, well, I've been really nervous about it. So, you know, being my brothers grew up watching a lot of Power Rangers.
You didn't?
No, I just never grew up.
Touché.
Yeah. You set that one up really well. We didn't have a TV when I was super little.
Okay.
So we didn't get it until my brothers were a little bit older, and so by then I learned how to read, and so I was just reading all the time, and like my brothers would watch TV. So I got into it a little bit later in the game. My brothers and I would watch it together. I think the thing that I actually like made time to watch was the X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
So that cartoon was awesome and inspired a lot of us, you know, having superpowers and punching each other in the backyard like you do as a kid. But the Power Rangers is something that I watched with my brothers quite a bit, and they were really, really into it, and had like the figurines and the action figures, I think is the term we're supposed to use. Yeah, the dolls. And it was really good. And I've been really nervous about this because you've seen so many movies go through, a lot of it with the original cast from the shows. The production value is usually pretty solid. You get some really weird stuff from it, though, because it's very, very kiddie. And so, I don't know. Now that I'm seeing the casting in some of the original photos, I'm kind of banking on this one. I mean, I'm Elizabeth banking on this one.
That was so bad.
That was real bad. But I can respect that.
Yeah,
I can totally respect it. She looks amazing. And at first...
Rita Repulsa? Is it? I do not think so. Rita, killing it!
No, she... when she was cast, I was like, okay, cool. But I was also... Along with, we've already kind of talked a little, some of the other cast people that are going to be the main Power Rangers in the updated versions with them. This is the first, though, besides them, we saw them in just plain clothes together. Mm-hmm. So that was, like, officially the first shoot of the Power Rangers. But this is, like, costume, which I can't wait till I see the costumes for the Power Rangers. But with her being Rita, I was stunned, in love, as well as, like, a tinge of... But that's not right.
She looks like a dragon.
No, she looks more like partly Scorpina.
I was actually going to make the same comment.
I had to look up and say, did I not read who she was playing correctly? Yep. Because even looking at Scorpina's costume, she had more of a head thing, but a lot more spiky and everything. And I started being like...
Much more of the battle bikini for Princess Leia.
Yes. Not the Rita Repulsa Madonna cone boob.
Lindsay, do you have a battle bikini?
I
just feel like all women should have one. Like, it's part of, like, guys should have, like, a nice pair of penny loafers and women should have a battle bikini.
No, I will work on that.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, I wasn't aware that it was a necessity.
I didn't know if it was. I'm asking. I know literally one girl. You've never met her.
So, going into, she's not looking
Moms
like
don't
the
count.
Old...
You're a mom.
Oh, okay.
She's not looking like the old Rita Repulsa with the long hair and, like I said, the cone boobies. It's a hot fucking version, and hopefully she doesn't have the scraggly voice either. Yeah. I'm totally cool with this Rita. I don't have to be so gung-ho on has to be stuck to the original, because then you're just repeating exactly the same formula. Now, I will say I have problems with updating other certain movies, but that's when they take the heart out of it, like Transformers or Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, although, but they put explosions in.
Oh. Michael Bay.
Yeah, the thing that I am really hoping that they do approach is that Rita has the same or even more elaborated reason for wanting to take over the world.
Well, I had learned, actually, from the initial of showing her picture and getting into people that are hardcore, is it Gokogen, or, God, I'm totally going to ruin what it's based off of, because Power Rangers taken off from a Japanese...
Okay.
Shogun, I think it is, that they're called. But regardless, the Rita-type person in those... not comics, TV shows and television in their world was a lot more evil than the American version was made to be.
She was played down.
And like they're saying how straight up evil incarnate, like drinking like the blood of people, like like that type of evilness that I was like, damn, man, I didn't think. And then when Lord Zedd came too, and everyone's like, fuck, man, this dude is awesome. And then, of course, America had to dumb down his version when he married her because parents, and that's what kills me, any parent that I know always has to ruin it for the kids. We were okay with Lord Zedd being this giant, muscular, I'm going to kill the Power Rangers, but then they had to dumb him down in like the later season when he got married, and then he was just like, yeah, I'm a dumb, bumbling idiot too.
Here's the thing, parents. If you feel like a show is offensive and you don't want your kids to learn from what's in it, don't let your kids watch TV.
Or let them watch TV and learn to be adults because need to be adults at some point.
Don't change something because you're offended by it. Just don't let them watch it.
Yeah. Right. So I have to give a shout out, though, to Jimmy being the lucky bastard and getting to interview Amy Jo Johnson. I messaged him and I was just like, what the hell, man? How did that work out?
Yeah.
How did you, were you able to stand up because and hide your boner that you had while talking to her? But
no, him and Jay and Jimmy both are in Philadelphia right now and they just look like they're having an amazing time and they're living the podcaster's dream right now.
Absolutely what they look like they're doing.
Yeah. I'm actually going to try to do a couple road trips with them just because of how much fun it looked like they're having.
They
keep me out of the sun too, so
I think I need that. You can't get a sunburn inside.
Nope.
Okay, so the Eisner Awards, the nominees were announced this week.
Absolutely. I think that's very interesting that they actually still have them and they publicize it.
Yes.
Right, because, like, that's something you never hear about.
No.
Because it's just, like, it's not like the GAC Awards, like, back in the 90s, where it's just like, we have our own TV show, yay! But it's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, you know, we actually have the Eisner Awards. This is actually a really big thing for a lot of people. They really strive to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's really underappreciated, because a lot of people put a lot of time into this.
Right. I think now the Eisner Awards, I mean, they've always been important in the comic book industry because it does give you something to strive towards besides just being writing an awesome comic book.
You're keeping afloat.
Yeah.
A job.
Yeah. I think now that comic has become more of a mainstream hobby for people, it's prevalent in culture. It's probably even a bigger idea.
Oh, and my room is exploding.
Yeah.
Random noises.
But some of the notable nominees this year, we have for best short story, a strip from The Oatmeal, which was the It's Going to Be Okay. I don't know. I've read it. You guys have all read it, right? About the story about the plane crash or whatever.
Yep. And the one sole survivor.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me that a site like The Oatmeal, you know, is getting nominated for, which... I mean, they're a comic strip, so...
Well, no, and it's
completely
good to
legitimate.
See
yeah.
that they are being recognized for their efforts, because them in particular, they put their comics out there for free to the public.
Yeah.
With, I mean, obviously they get some ads back and everything, but really it's a different sort of drawing than drawing for a big two.
Right.
And... to see them be recognized as
legitimate comic source.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. And I am all for it. That strip itself got it was everywhere on the internet for at least a month when it first came out. So it just totally deserves to be nominated. Couple other ones Best Continuing Series, we got Southern Bastards, Invincible, Silver Surfer, Giant Days, and Bandette. I've never even heard of Bandette. It's from Monkey Brain Studios.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to look it up. New Series, which I thought were some of the better ones. We got Bitch Planet, Harrow County, Kaiju Max, Monstrous, Paper Girls, and The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl. I've read most of those, so. But yeah, everybody look up the Eisner Awards online and check out these.
I have to say, it's great to, like, looking at all the different categories. Like, there are some books that they were just so great, they're going to get best artist, best mm-hmm. writer, best, you know, series. But that is very, not unique, but, like, variety of different people in different spots.
Yes.
All in here. Like I said, also, you know, Humor Publication, Side 9 Happiness, fucking hilarious, but that's also an online one. Going down to writers, where you have some writers from Marvel, DC, but, like, Image, like, everyone, and what, you know, it's not just the big names. There's so many more of the, and they're not even smallest publisher anymore, and we repeat that all the time, but the comic book industry as a whole has gone away from just two juggernauts to so much
right.
that these awards now kind of reflect that.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think it's interesting that there were so many independent companies that were struggling along for so long being bought out that now it's going even so far as that, independent distribution. There's the indie comic book companies, there's even just the free ones. You can get, if you have a dream and you really, you know, believe it, like you really want to make it happen, there's never been a better time to really give it a go.
No, and Kickstarter, for sure.
Or, you know, there's a couple of other ones. There's Pantheon is the one that a lot of the, like Otis Frampton uses that one. He's one of the, and Abby Normal, so it's coming, Oddly Normal.
Yes.
Yep.
Abby Normal. Abby someone. That's all I can think of. Thanks, Young Frankenstein. There's a reference I don't ever need to pull out of my head that comes up a lot.
And they have a ton of categories up to and including, like, you know, best comics related journalism and comics related books. So not even just comics themselves, but
right.
things that are directly related to comic books that get nominated for awards. So. It'll be interesting to see who wins this year.
Absolutely. I would also like to announce that, or make mention that the Peabody Awards just occurred, and there was actually Jessica Jones won a Peabody for entertainment and children's media because of its...
We're going to specify that Adam said, and children's media, and not
correct.
In children's media.
Well, I mean, it's still technically something that is allowed for kids,
right.
and like not children, but like you know, adolescents, because it talks a lot. I was reading the comments about why it won, and it talks a lot from the guy that or the director of the Peabody Awards made comments about the prevalency of consent and control and taking care of your own life and like
right.
and self identity
in that
yeah
show.
I mean, if you guys haven't gotten a chance to see it is a worth watch through. I was unbelievably uncomfortable through all of it.
Yeah,
I could watch about an episode and then I'd have to take a couple of days off. It took me 4 weeks to watch through that season.
Wow.
Because I just like. I worked in mental health for a really long time. It's just one of my trigger issues. Like, not a fan of, like, it makes me super uncomfortable. Not necessarily because of content, just because of, like, watching people deal with that is really
right.
tough for me. And so, like, it was really hard on me, but it was so well portrayed.
Well, it was. I mean, up to, like, the support groups that they started in
absolutely.
Show for the survivors of
Kilgrave.
Yes, Kilgrave.
Yep.
I was going to say
Purple Man.
Purple Man, yes. They didn't really call him Purple Man in the
show
at all.
They
though,
didn't, but that's who it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I loved it. I thought it was really, I thought it absolutely took more of an approach that is important. There's a lot of issues with sexism in comics and whatnot, but things like this are really starting to change the concepts. They're really starting to bring it out there. And like, there's a long way to go. We have a
right.
lot of work to do before... we stop maybe gentrifying everything quite so much, but talking about real issues like this and like making it really approachable so people feel comfortable talking about it is a huge step.
Yes, I agree.
All right, well, I think that kind of does it for this week.
Yeah.
Final thought for the day. This quote comes from Elusive J on Twitter. I saw this the other day and I just thought it was like poignant with everything. It's mainly talking about the deaths of famous people and everything, but thinking about how we mourn artists we've never met. We don't cry because we knew them. We cry because they helped us know ourselves.
Right on.
Absolutely. Hats off to the dearly departed China and Prince and McNamara, which is Patton Oswalt's wife.
Passed
away this week as well. Yep. It was a very, very tough week for a lot of people. So keep your chin up out there and, you know, keep living.
Stay thirsty for life.
I was going to say stay thirsty for YouTube Audacity tutorials.
Womp womp.